flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Get involved with the program. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. There's the YouTube that's going. There's the Twitch that's going. Hopefully you're listening on the Odyssey app, getting your daily entry in for that slam dunk giveaway that is happening courtesy of Odyssey. But yeah, man, you heard the man. John Lopez in the studio. I'm in the studio. I'm Reginald Atatula. And of course, Figgy Fig rocking with you here. The gang is indeed all here. How we living today, man?
You ever have one of those mornings?
Oh, okay. All right. It's a thing. I was like, that was a simple, how are you today? And he's like, I am going to wax poetic now.
Yeah, we got to talk about these offensive coordinators. But did you ever have one of those mornings? So I'm doing my work at home, as you know, and all that stuff. Daughter comes in unannounced, which is no big deal, but she brings her dog. Hey, can you watch Rocket today? And I'm like, sure,
good
of course.
Dog name, by the way.
Rocket's a great name. Yeah. And
that's
I love
a crazy dog, by the way.
He is nuts.
Well, Rocket sounds like that would
he
probably fit very
nuts.
Nicely there.
So that's cool. I love Rocket. I love watching
alien.
And all that. But I was already kind of late on my prep. Why am I telling you all this? Anyway, I'm a little bit late on my prep. So I take Rocket out to go potty. It makes me a little later. That's what he calls it. Then I come in, get all my stuff together.
Talking dog, huh?
Get my cereal, which I usually eat in the truck. As I put my backpack in the truck, I knock over my cereal in my truck. Then I go get another bowl of cereal, puts me even further back. I get in my truck, I get my
Press pause. You eat cereal in the truck?
Of course. Doesn't everybody?
No. Of all of the, I feel like Texan 713-572-4610. What are the
milk in a bowl?
What are
I feel like a big cup.
I feel like it is top three.
Drink cereal?
I have a big cup and I eat what I can, drink the rest.
Cereal is a top three or like bottom three breakfast to eat on the go. And if you can, if you can top cereal, please text in 713-572. Because that, what?
Yes.
Yeah. Next, he's going to be eating a bowl of soup.
Doesn't everyone?
On the road.
And spaghetti. No, I'm kidding on the spaghetti. But then I go back, get my cereal, still running late.
A nice steak.
Get in my truck, start barreling into the office. Boom, construction lane closed. Oh, great. So, but I'm here and I'm happy.
One of those days,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, one of those mornings, man.
Okay.
Just one of those days.
I have learned things about you in this first couple of minutes that I did not. Cereal.
The one thing that wasn't surprising that you spilt the cereal.
I spill food everywhere, all over the place.
Well, if you're doing things like eating cereal in the truck, no wonder. My man.
Do you eat cereal in the truck, 713-5, or your vehicle, 713-572-4610?
That is the literally.
It's the best.
I can't think of a worse breakfast.
You got to start try your day on the go. You got to start your day. Get your metabolism going. I've told you this.
Oh, you're listening to Big Breakfast now?
I'm listening to Big Breakfast.
It's a conspiracy by Big Breakfast. Yeah. Fondue. Okay, that's good. Good. Yes, one fondue. Of those drivers indeed. But yeah, fondue would probably be bad. Crawfish might be slightly worse than syrup. I don't know. If you can manage to get them pre-peeled, but I guess
you
the
get
issue
them all
is
over
that,
your fingers.
Yeah, I don't know that you're getting them pre-peeled. Oh my goodness.
That car going to be funky too, man.
Crawfish for breakfast?
Some crawdads in the car? Oh yeah, and then if you made them right, you know it's going to be running in there too.
Yeah, especially if you get that that crawfish with the sauce and all that stuff. Like boil bags.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That sounds like a challenge to me.
Oh, okay. See, now, this is how I know you made a bad decision, because the 832 lets us know that there is a whole episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia about eating cereal.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's where you got it from.
No, man. I've always done
that's
it.
Right.
But he had a bowl. Frank had a bowl, and he was in the back. But I have a big cup, so it doesn't spill.
I feel like if you were ever emulating Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you need to stop and reflect on what you're
pretty
doing.
Pretty much everything. Yeah. Pretty much everything.
Okay, very good. I feel like that is a show that is built around the incompetence.
That's like imitating Jackass.
That's right. That's exactly what it is, right? And nobody over the age of
They did it on Jackass.
Nobody over the age of 25 should probably be doing that at any point. Somebody said, I have hot coffee for breakfast, very portable. That's right. Very smart.
Lopez is a road hazard.
100%. 100%. He said he's doing it all wrong. Put it in the cup holder.
What was the wildest thing y'all seen somebody doing in the driver's seat?
It's always like, makeup.
Yeah,
always
I see that.
And it's not just, it's never just like I'm putting on my lipstick. It is putting on the full, as they say, like the full beat.
Oh, yeah.
Now, right? I seen this on social media, so I don't know if this was like real or not, but I seen somebody reading a book in the driver's seat like,
yeah.
Well, you read your phone.
Like, but reading a book, a physical book.
Turning pages.
Y'all read your phones?
At the red light. Like, come on.
Wow.
Man.
Somebody said shaving their leg. All right, keep that going. 713-572-4610 or on the YouTube or on the Twitch. Man. What is the wildest thing you've seen people doing in a car, especially on these Houston streets, man? Y'all the ones making these insurance prices go up. All right.
All I did was innocently enough
no,
ask
you didn't.
If you've ever had one of those mornings.
And then you let us know that you eat cereal on the road. I hope that there's not any officers listening. They're going to be on your route home waiting. Just whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Lopez.
Well, I don't eat on the way home.
Let me talk to you. But let's go ahead and get into these Texans, as we got more. We got offensive coordinator candidates. We got a nice little grip of them. What about them intrigues you? What can we maybe learn about this group of guys that we've got? As, of course, we know that Jeff Nixon, offensive coordinator at Syracuse, has been interviewed. As now has been Thad Lewis, the quarterback coach of the Buccaneers. We know Gerard Johnson is scheduled at least or at some point during this week to have an interview with the Texans. And now Nick Caley, who is the passing game coordinator for the, almost said St. Louis Rams, even though I never say St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
But the Los Angeles Rams under Sean McVay, he is now scheduled for an interview tomorrow with these Texans. By the way, I mean, he is... he is one of those highly regarded guys in the search.
Interviews.
I know that there's been someone like, you know, I was listening to the Athletic NFL podcast, and they were like, that's my number one guy if you're looking for an offensive coordinator. So those are the four guys that you have there. What intrigues you about this group?
Well, first of all, we can almost set aside Gerard Johnson because we've covered that a lot, and he's in-house, et cetera. But let's talk about Nick Caley. By the way, he was Thaddeus Lewis when he was a Texan.
That's right.
Yeah. And now he's Tad Lewis.
Yeah, no, he was that his
Wait,
whole time
is it
in the
Tad?
League.
Or Thad.
Okay, whatever, I was like,
however he pronounces
it's possible.
It.
It was always Thaddeus Lewis.
Thaddeus Lewis.
He's on that infamous Browns jersey with all the names on it.
That's right.
His name is on there.
So anyway, Nick Caley, Thaddeus Lewis, and we've covered him a little bit, but I think Jeff Nixon is in here. For me, these three names. You said what do you like about him? What do you not like about him? What intrigues you? The thing that over supersedes everything for me is intrigue. Now let me explain intrigue.
Intrigue.
Because
I feel like you need some music in the background.
Some little mysterious music or whatever. Yeah, that.
Thank
kind
you
of
for
intrigue.
That was
intriguing.
Wonderful.
Intriguing. Let's start with Nick Caley because he's the biggest name. What intrigues me about him is there is a very, very direct line, not too distant past, to John Carroll University and the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Who went to John Carroll University?
Great coach.
And spent 19 years, I believe, with the Patriots, won Nick Caserio. So I feel like there is, even though he could get his job on his own, I mean, his interview on his own, no matter what, I feel like there's a real Nick Caserio influence here.
I wouldn't doubt it, right? Yeah. Like, I'm,
which I don't know if that's good or bad. So that's why I use the word intrigue.
No, I also don't know if that's good or bad. And actually, I don't know that I can necessarily say that it is definitively a bad thing. I think I would lean, if it is anything other than neutral, it would lean towards the good in so much as we understand these businesses, particularly in football, is kind of insidious, right? Like, can be a little incestuous in a way, right? Because it's like, yo, the dudes that I know, the dudes that I've worked with, the dudes that I'm comfortable with are the ones who ultimately, like, draw my attention because of this is a people business on top of being a results business. And being able to work with the folks that you have in that building, you know, matters. And so having a level of rapport also matters. Like, now, of course, having the same alma mater, how much does that necessarily overlap and mean, right?
It's intriguing.
But it is.
It's intriguing.
Fair enough.
Here's another one with Nick Caley. And I like this. I'll just tell you. It's intriguing, but I like it. He is the king of developing tight ends and fullbacks. King.
Caley?
Yeah. He helped. Rob Gronkowski directly names him as a guy that extended his career to play at that level.
I was about to say.
You know, to play at that, continue to play at that level.
Even though it got to a point in his career where he looked creaky. He looked like he was held together with rusty bolts. But, I mean, he held them together during that period.
And he had big years all the way through.
I
think his last five, maybe 6 years, Nick Caley was his tight ends coach. And then James Devlin, who was just a guy, if we're being honest, became a Pro Bowl fullback under Nick Caley. A Pro Bowl fullback. So tight end, fullback. What do we talk about a lot on this show?
Tight ends, fullback play.
Yes, we do.
Shout out to Andrew Beck, the official fullback of the In the Loop.
Yeah, he is. Now, the other thing that's intriguing is could maybe be, I'd be leaning the other way on this. He also, like Gerard Johnson, never called plays. He also, like Gerard Johnson, would kind of put his own stamp on things. But I think Gerard has an edge there or whatever, if you want to go from within. He has a new system. Here's another intriguing thing about Nick Caley. He's got an Andy Reid Chip Kelly connection.
Absolutely. He's not the only one of these.
That's
of these
what makes it more intriguing, because Jeff Nixon has a Chip Kelly connection. So there's intrigue there. Now, I don't want to dominate this whole segment, but Thad Lewis.
Go ahead and dominate.
Go ahead
and get work.
Clear out.
Work, big man.
Let's go. Give me the ball in the post, damn it. Everyone with Thad Lewis, everyone associated with him speaks incredibly highly of him. Like, incredibly highly of him. And look what he did with Baker Mayfield, man. It wasn't just Liam Cohen. It wasn't just Liam Cohen that did that with Baker Mayfield. And he has a connection to Chip Kelly, too.
That's right, which has led some people, if you talk about intrigue.
Yeah.
That has led some people to believe, is it possible that these could all be like set up interviews and then boom, one fell swoop, here come a whole staff? Like, I don't know if that's something that necessarily would happen or could happen in that way. But, you know, those things are intriguing. I know for me, and this is not like first and foremost, it's not primary, but this, I think that this is worth noting and it's notable. I looked up and I had to hit up my man B. Scott earlier, and I was like, Is my skepticism or my cynic alarm getting up too big? Because the first three reported interviews that the Texans have had, when you look at Jeff Nixon, Gerard Johnson, Thad Lewis, or Thaddeus, depending on if you want to be grown and sexy, all young black dudes.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, you say, hey, there's race card, but I think that, for one, immediately I go, okay, well, those guys aren't like, you know, the big names on when it comes to, you know, offensive coordinator, you know, looks. I think the people would, you know, look at somebody like Byron Leftwich or what have you, right? I guess, is Eric Bieniemy still in that place? I know that he's being talked about as like,
news this week.
Being in for offensive coordinator positions again. But like, you know, inherently, whenever you interview at least one minority candidate, people go, how serious are you about this? Or are you checking a box? And I don't think you do that if you're getting, like, in order to check a box, you don't talk to three people.
Exactly.
And obviously, like, I think that matters when you look at an organization that was browbeaten, and probably rightfully so, for having the owner get out here talking about the inmates running the asylum. And now you're in a place where you are opening and making sure that your pool is wide enough to include all different types of folks and see if you find some gold in all these different places. I think that's one of the big things about like the idea of having a diverse pool is that you just don't know under which rock you find the guy who actually makes this happen. And so I wanted to applaud the Texans for that, because that feels very apparent in this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. These seem like some really smart guys, too. This ain't just the Jim Caldwell or Marvin absolutely. Lewis.
And they're not retreads. That's another thing.
Like, these are people that never called plays before at a high level like this. So I'm kind of intrigued.
Well, my thing on that is, I totally agree with both of you, but my thing on that is, let's say the coaching pool was 1 yard wide, like just as an example, like it's 1 yard wide is the entire coaching pool. If you're not doing this, then you're only using 1 foot of that yard, 2 feet of that yard. My theory is, use the whole pool to try to find, as you put it, maybe under a rock you'll find something.
Yeah, and I wanted to applaud them for that. But then going back, and you started alluding to this, like, these are a lot of, you know, younger guys that you imagine might have, like, fresh, different ideas. Plus, like, I don't know. I was trying to see, okay, can I find the trees, right? The various trees that these roll back to. And when you do this, it's like, how many of these people are kind of a Shanahan tree or a Andy Reid West Coast tree, or like the kind of Patriots, I always forget what it's called, but like that old school kind of Patriots tree or what have you. And these kind of go all different places. In fact, guys like Nick Kelly and I think you know pretty well, Gerard Johnson, have been in a lot of different places here.
That's intriguing to me.
And I feel like that allows them to have a wide understanding of the various degrees of offense that are run in this league and maybe be able to like tailor a game plan, not, you know, in kind of the opposite way of where it felt like Bobby was kind of really tied to a very, very particular style of play. That all seems like a lot of these guys, whether again Kaylee, whether even Thad Lewis he's played under a lot exactly. And then Jeff Nixon, who's like just coming from a, you know, Syracuse, from a college space. Like, just a lot of varieties in the ways that I imagine, right? Because I can't say definitively, I haven't talked to all these gentlemen, but I imagine that they look at offense. Like, it's very likely that you get an offensive game plan for this for this Texas team, at least if you're looking at the staff or the guys that they're talking to right now. It looks pretty different than what it looked like last year, which I think a lot of people would want.
Look, CEOs in the real world weren't CEOs before their first CEO job. But, you know, what they had was a diverse amount of experience, you know, and that's what we're talking about here. None of these guys have been offensive coordinators before, but I like that. Frankly, I, a little confession here, I kind of like Jeff Nixon and Gerard Johnson and Thaddeus Lewis a little more than the hot name Nick Kelly. And the reason is, you know, like, let's talk about Jeff Nixon. He's been in San Francisco, Miami, Carolina, the Giants, Syracuse as a play caller.
Sure.
So he does have that experience. Gerard, Indianapolis, Philadelphia. He spent a little bit of time in Minnesota. And now here, I want the guys that have a vast array of experience. Thaddeus Lewis, we just mentioned it, as a player, as a coach. He's been to several players. And one thing that intrigues me about Thaddeus Lewis a lot, I'm sorry, Thaddeus. Your mama called you Thaddeus. I'm going to call you Thaddeus. One thing that intrigues me a lot about him, they kept him. You know, they went from Bruce Arians, brand new staff in Tampa, but they kept him. So that is a good sign as well.
Yeah, no, I think that, look, there's still a lot to be learned about this group, and I'm real interested to see, like, what kind of things trickle out of these interviews when we get them, right? But, no, they're quickly doing their work, and they're casting a pretty wide net that is also interesting to me. But
281. No wonder Lopez ran into a ditch and flipped 18 times. He was eating cereal while driving.
Exactly.
First of all, I didn't flip 18 times.
But you eating cereal as you was trying to drive up a snowy hill?
Secondly, I bet he was.
That day I was not eating cereal.
What were you eating that day? Nothing. An omelet?
Spaghetti.
Oh, okay, very good.
You're trying to cut a steak.
Yeah.
By the way, the various different crazy things that people have seen on the roads of Houston, a la Lopez eating cereal in his truck. Somebody said they saw somebody shaving their legs.
Oh, Lord.
While doing 65 on 45? That is crazy. Someone changing a baby's diaper?
No way.
I don't believe that.
No way.
Somebody said they upped the cereal and a stick shift. That is wild.
Now that's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Let us know the various wild things. Somebody said they once saw a woman driving down 290, you know, doing some illicit substances. Okay. And then, of course,
you can't drive without seeing that.
The one that I was expecting, but you know what? Y'all delivered.
Yeah.
Doing sexual activities.
Yeah.
In the car.
What do they call that? Road what?
So ahead of a full day of sports talk here on Sports Radio 610, we're just getting going in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by one Andre Iguodala, who are the players that may not have been superstars, but you want or are on your personal retired numbers list in Houston? 713-572-4610. Whose number would you retire with?
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sing of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
When are we getting Lopez eating cereal on the intro? That's what I want to know.
There's nothing
coming soon.
Very normal.
No, it's not.
It's very normal.
Like, you can acknowledge that you do that, but you can't acknowledge that it's normal.
Absolutely.
I refuse to. We've done the inexact unscientific poll on the text line, 713-572-4610, and they all abundantly made it clear that that is not normal.
And yet I said
you wildin' now, man.
Wildin'.
And yet I said
I'm a little nervous riding with you to New Orleans now, man.
That's right. Lopez will be the one driving us to Radio Row.
I got an itinerary. We're good to go.
All right. How much cereal does it include?
Well, I'll probably have something else. You know, maybe a lasagna.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Kurt, thanks. Big thanks to Fly by Yingling, who's seeing us out.
Hey, I sit in the back seat on this one. Reggie, you take shotgun.
You think that's safer?
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how. We'll see if we make it to Radio Row. That's how that goes. Yeah. Let's get into our question of the day here on Sports Radio 610. Inspired by Andre Iguodala, who apparently will have his number retired by the Golden State Warriors. Who are the players that may not have been superstars, but are on your personal retired numbers list for Houston? Let us know. 713-572-4610.
So the Golden State Warriors, and I don't mean this as a slight to Andre Iguodala's game. He was very good. Very good.
He absolutely was.
But let's look at the guys that have been their numbers retired for the Golden State Warriors. Wilt Chamberlain.
Elite.
Rick Barry.
Can I press pause on that? Wilt Chamberlain was elite to the point that, like, people don't believe the numbers that he put up.
No. I say it all the time. We're not going to do it here, but I'll say he should be in the discussion as greatest player ever. But that's neither here nor there. Wilt Chamberlain, Rick Barry, Chris Mullin, Nate Thurmond, who might have been one of the baddest dudes that ever played the game that a lot of people have forgotten about, and Andre Iguodala? I mean, it just goes to show you can be very good, but if you play a long time and win some titles, you're going to get your number retired.
Yeah, I feel like there's a few buckets that go into, like, retiring a number, mm-hmm. which is clearly if you are an elite player that plays for a decent amount of stretch of time for a team and wins a championship, mm-hmm. boom, easy money. Then there's, like, the fan favorite who's just, yes. like, there forever, like, a la, Nick Collison, mm-hmm. Oklahoma City. Like, never was, like, an incredible player. Sometimes wasn't even really, like, a starter guy, but he was just there forever. He was beloved. And then there's, like, interesting mixes in the middle that also depend on just, like, how good of a team you are, how many of those mm-hmm. high-level players that you have. Because, you know, you find some teams where it's like, how is that guy in there? But you look at their actual history and you're like, okay, well, I mean, that guy ranks pretty highly in their history compared to the rest of the league. Andre Iguodala just feels like that they have to acknowledge that dynasty and the people who were
he's the first
large
one off that group,
which is crazy because I think, you know, that Steph was going in, you know, that Draymond was going in, right? Like, multiple time mm-hmm. defense player of the year, all that. Klay Thompson was likely going in. Mm-hmm. I think, you know who this means a lot for in Golden State?
Go ahead.
Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Because Kevin Durant is a weird one.
Yeah.
Finals MVP, won a championship, but there for such a short period of time, and it was never, like, even though it was his team in basketball term, it was never his team, like, as, like, spiritually.
Yeah.
And it was always a wonder, like, do people associate him with mm-hmm. that team? Was he just a mercenary? And if you treat him like a mercenary, do you then enshrine him in the way of retiring his number?
So Houston sports, and I'm not talking the obvious ones, your personal Andre Iguodala, so to speak, for whatever reason, not J.J. Watt and all that. I've got two serious ones and one that would be fun.
I love these numbers, these names that are coming in right now.
And they're all Texans. I'll think about Astros and Rockets here in a second. But I started thinking Texans. I love Kareem Jackson. I love Kareem. And the arc of his career here was that's the worst first-round draft pick ever to Pro Bowl.
That's right.
You know, like he had 2-3 years of, boy, that guy is awful.
Which is funny because, like, I have let go of the, boy, that guy is awful. Like, that does not even stay in my mind.
But it was here.
It's just like Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pro Bowler. Another serious one for me, and that I don't think for a number of reasons is going to be in the Ring of Honor or have his number retired, is Dwayne Brown.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Many offensive linemen there's some offensive linemen, like the entire 2011 offensive line they went with.
All of those guys. That's a good one. They weren't superstar. Well, some of them were, but you get my drift here. And then the fun one for me, Figgy, I'll bet you can guess who it is. He brings the party with him. He was a big-time draft choice, was not a very good player.
Shout out to Travis Johnson.
Okay, I think I know where you're going here, but I want to make sure.
He brings the party with him. He is like, he's almost becoming like a mascot. And I mean that very respectfully.
Yeah.
Of the Houston. He's everywhere. He goes to every event.
He is at anything Texans related. He is there.
What's up, Figgy?
J-Lo.
with bells on and maybe a cigar hanging off his
lips. I love Travis Johnson so much. he'll tell you he was a bust. I mean, okay, Rockets, Astros, or Texans, who do you guys?
Well, I mean, one of these names came up on a text line and I was like 100% agree. How about Mad Max himself? Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, yes.
I absolutely love that man. Yeah. I don't know what he would have to do to make me not like his get down.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 5 seasons mm-hmm. here? And obviously there for the 2 championships. Like, that feels like that's kind of in line with what we're doing there with Andre Iguodala anyways.
Yeah,
like,
he is the Andre Iguodala. Really good player.
But also, like,
Not a great player, but he won championships.
But also, like, he embodies the spirit of the team way more than I think. Well, Andre
much,
mattered.
Much like Andre Iguodala.
But yes, yes. Some other ones that came in, T-Mac on the text line. Luis Scola, which we just love that time period, I guess, at that point, if you're doing Luis Scola. No shade to that man. Oh, this is a good, like, this is a character guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Pat Bev?
Ooh. I think Rockets fans don't want him in
the Yeah.
The problem with Pat Bev is Pat Bev is just inherently a guy that if he is actively with you, you're like, all right, cool. And as soon as he's not, you're like, that guy's annoying as all hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that came to my mind, and this is clearly a joke. I don't think he's going to get any consideration, but this guy got one of the most memorable moments in Texans history. Sage Rosenfeld, the Rosencopter. The Rosencopter, man. Just off the strength of that, you should get your jersey retired, man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is hilarious. Some other ones that have come in. Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, right,
just because of the stance there, I've been really Rockets heavy here. How about this one from the 281? Josh Reddick.
Oh, so beloved, so beloved.
Yeah.
What about Lance Berkman from the old Astros?
I feel like probably
right,
so.
Right.
He almost feels like isn't he too good for like kind of what we're doing here? But yeah,
but he's not good enough to have his number retired.
Right.
But the Astros don't have a ring of honor.
Right.
They retire numbers.
Yeah. The one person I was thinking about too with the Astros, Charlie Morton.
Oh yes.
Yeah. He was very beloved, man. Yeah. And he walked away. He was still pitching too. Still pitching pretty good.
Last year.
Yeah.
Some other ones that have come. Mario Ellie. Okay. Man. And at that point, when you have a championship team,
he's an Iguodala type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other ones that came in. D'Amico Ryan's the player for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean,
He should be in the ring of honor.
Mm-hmm.
I would put him in the ring of honor.
I think so.
I mean, we're early, but if you forecast this out, at the very least, I mean,
yeah, it'd be a little weird. It'd be a little different trying to do it while he's the coach. But as a player, let's say he wasn't coaching at all, he should be like, I would put Arian before him. But
I think he will get his number retired just as a player / coach.
Yeah,
you know, as a contributor.
Yeah.
All
right. How far are we stretching this? How do we feel about Tony Kemp as a name here? Because if we're going to stretch it that far, I'm going to put this number in, the number zero, just because it is LJ Hose, baby. Just because I enjoyed sitting out in outfield and chanting, we want hoes. Like, yes, let's go that far. But Whitney Merciless, Arian Foster was mentioned.
Arian Foster might really get it.
Yeah, he should.
They should be working on it now.
Mm-hmm. But like, what was the one that I was? Oh, Brian Cushing.
He'll get it. He'll legit get it, I think.
You think so?
I think so. Maybe not, but I think so. Well, I mean, there's some.
J.J.
would be a good one on that list. He would be a good one on that list.
Dallas Keuchel.
I think so, yeah.
I feel like he has
but
to.
Not number retired. So I would say that's a good candidate.
Right, for what we're talking about here.
Yeah, for what we're talking
the
about.
The beard, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, you had that identity alone. There as well.
Yeah, the beard alone.
For sure. See, now this will get tough because the injuries have made him relatively off-putting. Lance McCullers.
Oh, don't, yeah. Man.
I would do it.
Like, well, you know what? He did win the World Series.
He did.
And then you talked about the, 38 straight curveballs or something like that?
John Weeks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is that the winner?
Segment over.
We won.
That's a wrap. That's John Weeks.
That's it.
We're putting you in the ring of honor, baby.
So the back end of
retire that number 46. Don't nobody need to wear 46 ever again.
Tony Sipp, Michael Bourne comes in. And this one hits me specifically because I just remember the Casa Ole commercials and it sticks in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Jose Lima. Just off the strength of the Casa Ole.
Perfect.
Just that.
Perfect.
Period.
Between Lima and Weeks.
That's it.
We got it. We got it.
Me being funny, and this is not a good. This is not a good thing. But Calvin Cato, because he took all that money.
Matt Maloney.
Yeah, those people mentioned Matt Maloney. One of my favorite names. If you could just put a dude off of a name alone, Mucci Norris.
Mm-hmm.
Just
very
just because
popular
of the name. Just
very popular
name, and then that fro. Like, you get those together, and it works. Von Wafer. I was watching Von Wafer highlights recently.
Wow!
And I was like, damn, I forgot that error too. Entirely.
Wow on that, and wow on you. Watching
Do I not strike you as a dude who just watches basketball highlights from 2003 or whatever?
Actually, you very much.
That's exactly
do.
Who I am.
You very much do.
But yeah, wait, Scott Brooks,
Scotty
Brooks. Huh? All right, Ocho. And then the franchise, of course. Like, Could you make an could you make an argument to just straight up put Steve Francis in? But that one might be a little tough.
That ain't going
to
happen.
though, man. Because
it ain't gonna
me not growing up here, every time I think about Houston, I would think about Steve Francis, the
Kat,
franchise.
And Cat, Catino Mobley.
Mobley, yeah. The cool cat. All right, and then Owen Daniels. I feel like I should have mentioned that way earlier.
He might get up
there. Look, he has a good chance in and of him. Oh, the Jeremy Lin side? Guys.
I was just about to say him,
guys,
too, man.
Please. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. Hope that you were utilizing the Odyssey app, because we got a slam dunk contest going on all the way through February 23rd. Download the Odyssey app, log into the Odyssey app, because that's how you win, and listen to Sports Radio 610 or any participating Odyssey sports station for a minimum of 60 minutes and for a daily entry. And that gives you an opportunity to win $20,000 in travel accommodations for four to Las Vegas to watch the first two rounds of the college basketball championships, man. So all you got to do is do the thing that you're doing right now. Listen to Sports Radio 610. Just do it on the Odyssey app. Make sure that you log in as well to enter to win. All right. Coming up next, we welcome in our guy, Baseball Spo, especially after the Rockets get a win in Atlanta. Let's talk to him. We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo.
Yep, he's here. Adam Spillane, our Astros and Rockets insider here on Sports Radio 610. Spo, what's happening, man?
Hey, guys.
How are you? Get your workout in?
I did.
Do you have any news on Alex Bregman? I have two questions for you.
No, I don't. This whole thing, it's strange. And we talked about it a little bit last week because you had the Nate Griffin video talking to Espada outside Minute Maid Park.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, first of all, it does.
Yeah.
But it feels a lot like 2022 after the lockout when Carlos Correa was still a free agent and Jim Crane did media in West Palm Beach. He's like, oh yeah, we're in it on Carlos. We're talking to Boris, all that stuff. And then obviously Correa signs with the Twins and Boris at the press conference is like, no, the Astros never made another offer about Carlos. I did talk to Jim, but it wasn't about Correa. That's to me, that's just,
they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. That is what this feels like right now. And just listening to Dana Brown Saturday talk about how the door is cracked open, how it's a long shot. And then one interesting thing yesterday was he saying that the talks have been internal. And then Matt Kawahara asked him, like, straight up, have you talked to Boris since December? And he did not answer the question. He said, Scott texted me today. I'll probably call him back. So I don't even know, like, what the nature of the talks with Bregman and his camp have even been over this last week when they've talked about it. So to me, the whole, you know, Dana called it a long shot on Saturday. That's what it feels like, still a no shot at this point.
No, they're doing the exact same thing. We talked about it yesterday when those quotes were coming over during our show, coming through during our, and I told Reggie and Figgy, I was like, he hasn't even talked to him?
It's such a weird situation because so much of it, obviously, like, this Lion season, everybody's posturing for these things. And then we get, like, the kind of, I guess, rumor, speculation that Jorge Polanco could be, like, a target for that. I'm just, like, looking at this and, at least on the Jorge Polanco front, or even like bringing back Bregman, like how much does that actually make sense when it comes to like the baseball brass tacks?
Well, bringing back Alex Bregman makes baseball sense. Like adding a player of that caliber makes sense.
Even with the defensive adjustments.
Yeah, you'll figure that out, especially when you consider that if it means Jose Altuve moves to left field, Jose Altuve moves to left field because he might have been the worst second baseman in baseball last year. So
that's right. Like, so why not have the worst left field?
Yeah, in baseball? he can do a lot less damage in left field than he can do at second base, as you saw in the playoffs last year. Adding Jorge Polanco, buying low on Polanco, who's been an all-star caliber player recently, you know, that's worth, you know, talking about and figuring out, okay, well, why did he struggle last year in Seattle? So it's the end of the offseason. Pickings are pretty slim at this point, and you're trying to do the best that you can for your organization. To me, it all makes sense. Like, adding players makes sense at this point. It's just like, get something done.
Well, I imagine that some of that is also tough because the backdrop is your outfield is standing there looking like Will Smith in that last episode of Bel Air, Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Like, how do you see this kind of falling out? Because it seems like, according to Dana Brown, it's just like it's an open competition for all three spots.
Yeah, I think that Myers and McCormick are kind of penciled in there just based off of what they've done in the past. And, you know, I know Myers doesn't hit, but he was a Gold Glove finalist last year. And in center field, that sort of stuff matters. McCormick has hit in the past, obviously. And just talking about it with Joe Espada on Saturday at FanFest, he's like, yeah, Chaz has had a good offseason so far. Let's see if he can actually, like, turn that into results. But obviously, I think McCormick gets the first shot. And then left field, it's just, it's a lot of opportunities for guys who maybe haven't gotten them before, whether it's Pedro Leon or Taylor Trammell, who's been a highly touted prospect in the past but hasn't worked out in a couple of different spots, whether it's Jacob Melton maybe mm-hmm. getting an opportunity during camp. So it's the same thing with the bullpen, too. Like, there are a bunch of open spots with the bullpen. There are a bunch of open spots in the outfield, and who can grab one of them? Like, you guys mm-hmm. have an opportunity.
So the Rockets, let's talk hoops because all season long, really, we've all pretty much agreed, I'm sure, this is a fun team to watch. Yeah. They're beyond that now, and I wanted to get your thought of, like, it's one thing to be fun and hey, maybe this, maybe that. To me, they're there. They are a team that can sustain it. Now, who knows, postseason, you got to play and lose first, all that stuff. But they seem like a serious contender.
You can't argue that at this point. Like this, mm-hmm. I said it a couple weeks ago, it's not a small sample size anymore. They are, 44, 45 games into the season. They're on a 57-win pace, and they're still second in the West. And they just keep winning games. And this stretch that they just had, winning three in a row against Boston and Cleveland, two of those games on the road, those were the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And then backing it up with the win last night in Atlanta, you know, Hawks aren't great, but they're still decent. Like, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it shorthanded. I thought last night's win was really impressive just because
me too.
They dialed it back on the minutes with the starters. You know, those guys really carried a big load in Boston on Monday, and they were still shorthanded. And Udoka trusted, like, those guys on the very end of the bench. Like,
Jock Landale.
Yeah, Landale and Tate.
Jason Tate.
Yeah. And Aaron Holiday, mm-hmm. like, those guys are getting DNPs on most nights when they are at full strength. But he trusted those guys, played them big minutes last night, and they came through. And that's what good teams are. That's the strength of this team, is just the overall depth, where they can legitimately go 13 deep at this point. And I think that all 13 of those guys give you a feeling that they can contribute to a win. Now, the one guy, the 14th guy, is Reed Sheppard. And that's a little bit of a problem that he's not contributing at all at this point, but he's still young and there's a long way to go in this thing. But I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten any time here mm-hmm. recently.
All right, reporter hat on. You did a little bit of reporting as there's been rumors, or actually really reports out there about De'Aaron Fox, yeah. Houston native, being that the Kings are going to get themselves into a place where they shop him ahead of the trade deadline. What have you kind of found on this space, especially as the Rockets are one of those teams that has been named amongst, I think what his favorite would be, the San Antonio Spurs, yeah. but like of the possible destinations for De'Aaron Fox.
The Rockets are going to be named on all of these guys just because they have young players and they have picks and they've got a bunch of flexibility. But I don't see it, at least not right now. I think that the way this team is going, they're rolling. And to get De'Aaron Fox, it means you're trading Fred VanVleet. And I know what people think, what a lot of fans think about Fred VanVleet on the outside. On the inside, that man is revered
yeah.
inside that locker room. He is revered by that front office. I think if you ask them, the contract that they gave him 18 months ago or whenever it was, the 3 years, 130, he has been worth every single penny of that contract because of what he has brought. And to now all of a sudden take him out of that locker room right in the middle of the season, I think it would be damaging to the team overall. It would be damaging to how they play. It would be damaging just in a morale sense at this point. And so I just don't see it happening.
I agree.
And I think Kelly Yeko said the same thing yesterday, that the Rockets are not in any hurry to try and make a deal for De'Aaron Fox. I don't know if De'Aaron Fox is like an Ime Udoka type of player mm-hmm. At this point. So to me, I think that they could make small moves. At the deadline, you've got 8 days before the deadline. I just wrote something on sportsradio610.com, just kind of naming a few guys that they could go after. But to me, Fox isn't one of those. And just one other thing on VanVleet. Alperen Şengün multiple times has called VanVleet the team's brain.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they were terrible without Van Vliet. They started out 0-5. They started out 1-6 when Van Vliet didn't play. They won two meaningless games at the end of the year to get to 3-6. And this year, they won their first two that Van Vliet didn't play. And I asked Shingo, I was like, hey, is it something? Does this mean something that you guys are winning? You guys won these two games without Fred on the floor. And the first thing he says to me, one of those games was against Washington.
Right?
So that kind of shows you that as a team, they understand the value that Van Vliet has.
Well, last night was a good example. Everybody's minutes were down, but he had 35. Everybody was like 27, 26, 28, and he had 35.
Yeah, that's the guy that that Udoka finds it really hard to take off the floor because, again, as Shingun said, he's their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he organizes everything for them offensively. He's the coach on the floor, you know, the old point guard stuff. And they don't really have another point guard on the roster at this point, which is why, you know, I kind of mentioned some of the names that I did mention. So I don't see the Fox thing happening maybe in the summer, maybe after you see what it looks like after a playoff run. But I can't underscore enough how much Fred Van Vliet is revered within that locker room and within that team.
Now, watching the game last night, we'll talk more about this as we keep going on the show, but get a victory over the Hawks, hard-fought victory on the second night of a back-to-back for both teams. It was a remake or a makeup game, rather, you know, during that ice storm that was in Atlanta. And so, you know, just kind of shoehorned into the schedule. But, you know, you saw that the energy wasn't as high, especially early. I know that Ime said that at halftime, he kind of had to kick those guys in the keister. But, like, seeing Trae Young be able to drive through this defense was one of those things for me that I was like, okay, that might still be a point of growth for this team. What are you looking at, Adam Spillane, with this Rockets team and going, okay, I'm still looking at this place for points of growth?
I think the offense continuing the consistency there, it has been better. Defensively, they have fallen off a little bit. Now, listen, Trey's going to do what Trey does.
Sure.
And that's not an easy matchup for anybody, especially the second night of a back-to-back, just because you're tired and, like, not just mentally, you're not just physically tired, but mentally tired. And Trae Young is going to take advantage of all that.
Yeah.
So that's a tough matchup, second night of a back-to-back. I think overall defensively they've been fine. I mean, they're not second, I don't think, in the league anymore. They've fallen off a little bit. But I think the thing that you're looking for is just how the rotation looks and what happens when Jabari Smith comes back. And we're still probably 4 or 5 weeks away from that happening. But obviously that is a big, you know, that's a big piece that they're missing right now. And you don't necessarily feel it in the stat sheet a lot of times, but you do feel it with just the versatility and some of the other things that Jabari Smith brings, because he has skills that a lot of guys on that team don't have when you consider the size and everything that comes with him.
Who's the best player on the team?
It's probably Amin Thompson at this point.
Yeah, that makes it unanimous.
Yeah. I said it, I think it was 3 weeks ago. It's like, it's feeling like he's getting there and he might be there. You know, he's not going to lead the team in scoring on most nights, but he just does everything really well and the scoring is going to come. And I give the Rockets credit as a team. They haven't, like, you know, he's not a good shooter, but they haven't said don't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been really like, hey, shoot. When you're open, shoot the ball. If you don't want to take the three, step in and take the long two, but shoot it confidently. If you shoot it confidently, you're going to make it. If you shoot it without confidence, that shot's not going in.
Mm-hmm. Yes or no, Trae Young needs to go ahead and go bald already.
Yes.
What's going on up there?
Now, listen, I'm not one who should talk, but...
No, but like literally, like, what's going on up there?
I don't know. I'm happy that I don't have any have to know.
He reminds me of Rafa Nadal.
Rafa got to a point where it was tough.
He's got that same kind of
very wispy.
Thing. Yeah, wispy's a good word for it. Yeah. Rafa Nadal. It's not a great look, but hey, whatever. Do what you feel.
And then real quick before we let you go, as I've just continued to extend this thing out, one Houston athlete that you would retire their number in the same way as Andre Iguodala, where it's like not an elite player, but just one of those ones that you're like, I would like to have that person be you know, acknowledged.
Ryan Pressly.
Okay.
I think that
That's good.
I think Ryan Pressly, for what he brought to that team, leadership, the performance, he's obviously not going to get his number retired, but he was so, so good for those teams for that stretch.
You bringing it. That's a good one. Yeah. No, nobody mentioned that.
No, it didn't. Nobody did. Yeah. I should have mentioned Otis Thorpe, that someone had texted in, because I just in my head had thought, like, yeah, the bigs are, you know, the bigs that are, in this Rockets history are going to be in there. No, he's not in there. But yeah, no, Presley's a great one, especially as he, you know, moves on to Chicago. I've been trying to take time this week to appreciate Ryan Presley because, I mean, he was very good mm-hmm. when he was here for
me. Especially when, like, we harp so much on postseason performance. I mean, that's when he was at his best.
Absolutely.
When the calendar turned October.
That's our guy. Adam Spillane, Baseball Spo, Basketball Spo. We appreciate you giving us some time every week, even when I forget to text you.
Listen, it's ingrained.